Amen. Good morning. Glad to see one here with us this morning. Brother John Durrett's having a car trouble, so we're going to go ahead and start it up, and Brother Boyd will come up and lead us in singing if he's not here. When he said he was coming within the next 10 minutes, but just we'll whatever we have to do, we'll do. So just remember that. Requests we have, Sister Angie Brown has an unspoken request. Just remember that. Brother Anderson said he meant to say this a while back, that little David had that brain scan that we all prayed for and all went well. They found nothing and everything was fine, and it was better than it was last year. So we thank the Lord for taking care of little David. There's Brother Durrett. Amen. Also, Brother Donnie's asking for his daughter Jenny. She needs a touch from the Lord, so remember that also as we pray this morning. So I know we all have unspoken requests. Remember Mom, still remember her. And all the ones Dad and Wade are traveling, the ones that are traveling, just be with them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. We have mentioned Dad and Wade and some other ones that are traveling. Be with them. Bless them. Keep them safe on the highways. Lord, be with the services here. Brother Bob, remember him this morning. Bless him. Lord, remember Mom and all the other six. Sister Angie Brown's unspoken request. And Brother Donnie's daughter there, Lord. And just remember them all. Whatever the needs are, you know what they are. And all the unspoken requests. Be with us and guide us and forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Have the Holy Spirit, your comfort. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Amen. You lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Amen. You appreciate him. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. You appreciate him this morning. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. For he is Lord, he is. has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Think about it. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is He your Lord this morning? For He is Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. With all your heart, sing to Him this morning. For He is my Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. You thank the Lord to be here this morning? Amen. We were trying to get here early today. Believe it or not, we were. Got up early. I was real well prepared. We got on the road. We had to stop to get gas. And of course, little John's learned how to drive. The battery's still weak. He left the lights on. We put gas in, tried to crank it back up. Of course, it wouldn't crank. So I said, okay, Lord, well, let's get help. So we got somebody to jump us, and I thank the Lord for that. But as I was driving to church, I had a dream last night, and we were visiting somewhere, and some people were being really nice to us in the dream, and I didn't want their help. I was like, we're fine. But in the dream, it was like, no, take their help. That's a blessing. God said, the least that you do unto His children, God will reward. But of course, it wasn't until after I got that jump, I thought about that. I said, amen. The Lord is going to bless that gentleman for helping us. Amen. So it's the little things like that. God knows all about it. So that's why we're late. Terrence, I hope that's okay with you. Amen. But it's all about the love of the Lord and living for the Lord. It was an excellent quote this morning on the quote of the day, just talking about that love. Amen. So let's ask the Lord to fill our way with love. Number 28. Let us walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone. Amen.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness rove. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every
love. Glory.
Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Let's stand.
Soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love.
Glory!
Fill my way every day with love.
That's your desire as I walk with the heavenly dove.
Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Let me walk.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love.
Glory.
Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Brother Mark, you can help us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Fill my way every day. Thank you, Jesus.
Sing us all together one more time, today, Father. And we ask for your blessings on all the times. Offerings, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray as the word is open today that you open each heart that we're able to receive it, Father. Bless Brother Sam and Brother Wade as they're traveling, Father, and bless the dedication of the church up in North Carolina.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Touch Brother Bob in a special way.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing 629, Mercy Rewrote My Life.
Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy,
glory,
rewrote my life.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, it was your mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Rewrote my life.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, mercy rewrote my life.
Think about it.
And I should have fallen, my soul.
Worship him this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, mercy.
You wouldn't be here but for that mercy. Thank you, Lord. Sing with all your heart this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, your mercy.
What did it do?
Rewrote my life.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. As Brother Donnie, you get ready. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that mercy. Amen. Mercy, Brother Don. You're going to read this one? Man, we'll sing that once more as our brother gets ready. Think about that mercy.
Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy,
yes, Lord,
rewrote my life.
What a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yes.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody. I'm really, folks, looking forward to the day that they'll all be back. I'm looking for a revival on that day that I look up and see all our brothers and sisters here together like we're supposed to be. We'll get there. Just keep the journey moving. We're going to read from James 5 this morning. And before we read, let's go to the author and ask permission. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come out and worship the Lord this day. And Father, bless the little bride around the world and that little bride, just wherever she is, she's traveling today. And just again, be with Brother Wade and Brother Dale as they go up to, be with Brother Forney to dedicate that church. And bless Brother Forney's ministry, Lord, and bless all the ones there, Lord, and just pour out a special blessing on him. And Father God, that we just ask that you just bring Brother Dale and Brother Wade back home safely, grant them traveling mercies, and bless all the ones that are sick and afflicted today that couldn't be here and come through the door, Lord. We ask you just touch them and bless them. And Father, just bless the Brother Bob this morning, and I believe this Brother Aaron this afternoon. Father, I'm looking forward to hearing what the brothers have to say, and Father, just stir them, Lord, and let them bring it, Lord. Bring your word, Father, as you have given it to them on their heart, Father. We ask now to bless each one here today in a special way. Bless the reading of your word. Come down and reveal your word to us, Father. Forgive us of our sins, Lord God, and we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this place to come and worship you, Lord. Of course, you said wherever we're at, two or three meet, there I'll be also. So we believe your word and we take you at your word. We ask these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you.
Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten.
Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter.
You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door.
Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for example of suffering, affliction, and patience.
Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Amen. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Elias was a man subject to the passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. You may be seated. Thank you for the reading of the word.
Scriptures establish your heart. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. Let's sing number 30, Higher Ground. As we press on, that scripture had a lot of words to do with patience and amen. That's certainly what we need in this hour, just to hold on, to press on.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
That's your desire.
My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground.
Amen.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen.
I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray,
keep praying,
till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground.
Glory.
Oh, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Lord, lift me up.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand
by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Let's stand. Most High, oh, my Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Most High. Amen. What's his name? Glory. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most High, oh, Most High. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most High. Amen. The name of the Lord is, what is it? Glory. A strong tower, oh, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is, what is it? A strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Amen. With all your heart, blessed is the name of the Lord. Oh, and blessed is the name of the Lord. Worship him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed is the name of the Lord. Most High, oh, Most High. And blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Most High. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's not a weak tower. It's a strong tower. We can run into it and be saved. Amen. You ready for the word this morning? Amen. Well, our brother can get ready to come on out. I'm looking forward to what God has put on his heart. Amen. That's what we come for, to hear the word, to check up, to get strength. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, oh my Lord, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, oh Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory.
Just worship him now.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen. That's our desire this morning. Let's just prepare to go into the Word and look at Matthew chapter 7. It's good to be here this morning. Thank the Lord for all He's done for us. I know there's just kind of talking about some things that the Lord's been doing as we, are having to stay at home and go through all these kind of rough times. But I believe the Lord's doing some things for us in private and really working some miracles. And you can really see the hand of the Lord in our life in many, many situations. So we just thank the Lord for moving for us and for always being there with us. He's still with His bride, isn't He?
Amen.
But let's just prepare to look at Matthew chapter 7 and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. We thank You, Lord God, for Your grace and mercy to us this morning, Lord, to be able to look into Your Word and gather around and, Lord, look into the mirror of Your Word and see the day and the hour that we're living in. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this morning will be, and this afternoon, Lord, today's services will be just like maybe when all the children of Israel gathered around there and You began to pass out the loaves and the fishes to the disciples and break them and divided them out, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that You'll do the dividing and You'll do the breaking, Lord Jesus, and help me just to pass it out this morning, Lord. Help Brother Aaron this afternoon, Lord, that Your people can be fed. Because we believe, Lord, that we're all hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We're here not to just to be seen or just to come to church just to be part of some kind of movement, but we're here because we want to see You. And I pray, God, that You'll open our eyes of understanding this morning and this afternoon and be with the services today. Be with Brother Dale and Brother Wade up there, Lord, with Brother Jewel, and just be with Your bride all around the world, we ask and pray in Your name. Amen. So the sermon that I kind of been meditating on, and you know, I know I use that word meditate a lot, but when I say that, I mean I think about it. I roll it around in my head. I ponder. And lately, I think my whole family's just kind of been listening to the anointed ones at the end time. Try not to get all leaky up here. But, you know, when I go to bed at night, I hear my wife playing that sermon and I think my son has been listening to it a lot and I've listened to it several times. And, I think it's one of those things, you know, when Brother Brian, when he would preach sermons a lot of times, a lot of times we kind of go to church and we expect the sermon to be real uplifting and kind of tell us how good we are and everything. Right. But when Brother Brian would break a sermon down many times like this, or things like souls in prison now, convinced and concerned, it's really to kind of get you thinking and get you concerned to inspect yourself. Yes. So maybe think about that as we read the scripture and kind of get into the lesson here. Is where are we at spiritually? Right. Where are you at? Right. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 20 says, or 19 says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Now that's a big question. And what other fruits? That's even in the message today. That's a big question about what kind of fruits are we supposed to be looking for? Right. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, how are you supposed to know the will? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You may be seated. The Lord has blessing to the reading of the word. So, I'm really preaching this from the anointed ones of the end time, but I wanted to title the sermon this morning, Workers of Iniquity. Because I think, you know, that if you really kind of inspect the sermon that Brother Brandon was talking about, he's getting into what iniquity is and kind of highlighting that there are people that are working iniquity and they don't even really realize that they are workers of iniquity. And I think many times in the past, I preached this before, that many times in the past when you preach sermons like this, people kind of get in their head that it will give you This is supposed to give you power to point fingers at other people and to kind of inspect other people. But that's not the intention of these kind of sermons at all, is to inspect ourselves. And you know, I believe that the anointed ones at the end time, that sermon, if you go back and listen to it, it really, if you begin to realize that iniquity has been purged from your life and that you are walking in the Word, it will give the bride revelation power in your life to know that you are escaping the things of this world. So it really has, the Word goes forth and it cuts and it divides and it chops, and it does two things. It condemns and it saves, it sets apart, it separates, it puts people in right where they're supposed to be. So to one, it might be really, you begin to say, oh me. And the other, maybe you begin to build confidence that you're maybe doing like Enoch, walking with the Word. Enoch walked with God and was found not. He just kept walking and walking and walking until finally he escaped the bounds of the earth. He walked off the earth. So let's think about this now. This scripture that we just read, and maybe just kind of teach this a little bit more and just kind of mull over some things. Yeah. Iniquity. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So these people coming to the white throne judgment, coming up, they thought that they were fine, that they were okay. They're going to think that they're fine. Even today in this age, especially in this age, because Brother Branham said this would be a sign of the end time, that the deception would be so close. Have we not prophesied in thy name? We've prophesied, we've declared, we've preached on your behalf, we've done all these things, we've gone to church. Now, see, this is not talking about people out in the world living on, living in sin. These are church people. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. My goodness, casting out devils. And still Jesus would say, depart from me, I never knew you. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Done many wonderful works in the name of Jesus Christ. To depart from me, I never knew you. What kind of a person would that be? That would work iniquity. Now you want to find out what it means to work iniquity. First you got to find out what iniquity is. And if you go look up in the dictionary, it says iniquity is unrighteousness, to transgress the law, the condition of without law, either because ignorant of it or because violating it. And Brother Brown said in the message of the anointed ones at the end time, he said, what is iniquity? Ask somebody. It's something that you know you ought to do and you won't do it. So let's think about that now. Let's see. The Bible is the way that we know what to do and the way that we should walk. So when it's presented in front of you and it's put right in front of you that you should do certain things, that you should dress a certain way, that you should go to church, that you should all these things, adding on up, holding down time, holding down as the Word becomes revealed and you turn your back on it and walk away, then that becomes iniquity. And he said, they know that word. They hear it. You're listening to this tape. My, that narrows it down, doesn't it? See, that brings it on down from not just denominational people, but message people. They're listening to you're listening to this tape. You're listening to this message. You see the Lord God say so. You see him confirm it, make it true. And you know this just as plain as the sun is shining outside. But you that'll hold on to your denomination, hold on to those false things, you worker of iniquity. Yes. Now, maybe in this message this morning, we'll just kind of hone that down because we'll kind of get into what a denomination is. But you can have your own little denomination sitting there because you're still holding on to the past. Right. Well, I heard this brother preach this years ago, and I know it's right, even though it's contrary to the Word. I heard this so-and-so, when I came out of the denomination, this is what they believe, but I'm not going to let that go. I'm just hanging on to it, despite the truth that has been laid in front of you that you know is true. Right. Now, iniquity is a very important Bible concept. It's so important. It just goes all, Brother Branham talked about it. If you read the mystery, the first seal, when he preached the first seal, the mystery of iniquity was a very important part of that. When the first seal is open, it reveals to you that iniquity is gone. What the writer's got a bow and no arrows. He can say all kinds of stuff. But if iniquity is gone from you, if iniquity has been purged from your soul and is not there anymore, what can the devil say to you? Well, you got iniquity. No, because but you got to know. You got to know. It can't be just because the preacher tells you that iniquity is purged. It's got to be because it's revealed to you personally. Personally to you, that you know, not because somebody's come and pat you on the back or because you sit in the message, but because you know. It's so important that it was mentioned in Daniel's 70 weeks. It's part of the sixfold purpose. And I think that's, if you really would meditate on the sixfold purpose and what that really is to the Jews and how, because it says to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, what was their iniquity? They saw the truth presented right in front of them and they killed him on the cross. And they turned around and walked. So there's got to be reconciliation for iniquity. And Brother Branham said that you can't make reconciliation as yourself. You can't make reconciliation for yourself. He said, because reconciliation has already been made. Yeah. You just got to recognize it. Right. He said, it's a confession that you're wrong and then come and straighten up. Now see, there you see the reason why so many walk in iniquity is because they're unwilling to recognize and just admit that they are wrong. Right. Just to admit you're wrong. Now, that's why it's going to take two prophets to come to Israel and preach a word, preach this message to them, and then they will recognize, as Brother Wade's been preaching on the Day of Atonement, they will recognize that they're wrong. And that's what the preaching of the word is supposed to do to us in this hour, is to open our eyes that we're wrong. That we're wrong to the way that we've been living, wrong to the way that we've been doing, wrong to the way, see, you've got to hear the word. If you close your eyes and ears to the word and you stay home and don't come to church or don't listen to the tapes when you're at home and don't spend time meditating, then how will you know what the will of God is? How will you know what iniquity is? So Brother Branham, as you kind of follow through this message, he begins to talk about Matthew chapter 24, which is what he's really preaching on here in the sermon. He said, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now that's something to really kind of ponder on. Why will it not deceive the very elect? What will be the deception? What will it look like when it's so close to the truth? And I think almost sometimes it gives people kind of nervous frustration. We know that there's going to be a deception come. There's going to be something come, and we're looking for that. But you know, the antidote to that, the antidote to deception is to just get in the Word. God will take care of it. Get in the Word and feast on the Word, and you will not be deceived. And he pointed out that there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. Now, a false Christ, Brother Ram pointed out that he didn't say false Jesus, because nobody's going to come around and say, "I'm Jesus." But to come around and say that I have the truth, that is the deception. And so that's why an anointed one is one with a message. They're anointed, but their truth is not in them. Now let's pause right there and kind of think about that. And that the reason Brother Branham brought out to us that you're made up kind of you're a threefold being. You've got a body, a spirit, and a soul. Now we want to just kind of paint a picture a little bit that your soul is way down deep under the surface of the water. And I think I've used this illustration in the past. Your soul is what you can't really see. It's way down there and it's what's guiding you. Now, we see our body, it's got five senses, see, taste, feel, hear, smell, all of those things, and that's how we interact with one another. And then your spirit realm is how we show affection to one another, we imagine things, we memorize things, we think in that realm. But way down under that, under the current, under the water, is the thing that's really guiding you. It's the thing that's really motivating you. So if you're anointed on your flesh or in your spirit, it feels good, it gives you a sensation, but if your soul is not changed, if that thing down on the inside that's really guiding you, that's moving you from here to there, moving you in the right direction, if that's not changed, your innermost being will be going in the wrong direction. So you can be anointed in those realms, but your teaching will be wrong. That's why Brother Brown said, the same Holy Spirit that anoints the church that gives them desire to save souls, that gives them power to perform miracles. It falls on the unjust the same as the just, the very same spirit. That same spirit is falling on the just and the unjust. And Brother Branham said that is a sign of the end. That in this time, as we get closer to the end of this message, he talked about Jannes and Jambres and how as Jannes and Jambres come on the scene, it comes on the scene parallel with the manifestation of the Son of Man. Now when the Son of Man is revealed in this last day, then parallel to that, you have a deception that will come on the scene as well. This deception of false Christ and false prophets. Something that has never been manifested in this way down through all of the seven church ages. This deception will be a greater deception that has ever been. And he said, this is a sign of the end, and he preached these sermons and gave us these truths, he said, so the elect would not be confused. So that you would know the truth. So that you would be able to inspect yourself and be able to tell whether you're right or not. He said, now if this sign is only to be known at the end time, then it'll have to be after the opening of those seals. See, it's a sign of the end. That would be when these things happen. It'll be at the end time. And it'll be a sign now. So the elected will not be confused in these things. You see it? Then it's got to be revealed, exposed. Now, Brother Branham said, what would make a man want to be a false teacher of something? That's truth. Why would a man, now see, there's the deception, is people think that they're right. So what would somebody want to deviate from the truth? He said, now we'll get down to the mark of the beast in a few minutes and you'll see it's denomination. So let's think about what denomination is for a second. I'm gonna just take my time this morning. I hope it's not boring anybody or anything. A denomination is when you take part of the whole. So a denomination, Methodists have some truth, the Baptists have a little truth, even Catholics have a little bit of truth. Every denomination has a part of the truth. And Brother Branham said in one illustration he gave, it said, it's like somebody saying, what kind of ice cream do you like? And one person would say, I like chocolate ice cream. In other words, the truth of the Methodists. And I like vanilla ice cream. In other words, maybe the truth of the Baptists. And everybody has a favorite ice cream. But if you can see the whole rainbow, it's not just a denomination here, a little bit of truth over here, a little bit of truth over there, but this message of the hour was given to give us a complete picture of the entire Bible, the whole rainbow, the seven color facet rainbow. So that you don't say, well, we're going to just major on a theology, but we don't believe in signs and wonders. Oh, we believe in the supernatural working of the Spirit, but we don't really want to get into the mechanics so much. Or you don't focus just on one thing, but you can see the entire picture unfold. And you see, that's how a little people get, sometimes we get off track by thinking that these sermons that Brother Branham preached, Daniel 70 weeks, and the statue of a perfect man, and all these different sermons kind of fall in different buckets. But they're painting one glorious picture, a tapestry of the whole thing that we can see. So Brother Branham said, we're all born of the same spirit. Denomination is only taste. It's all ice cream. It's all spirit of God. And you know what? A rainbow makes a covenant. Let's stay this way, brethren. Let's see, Stacy, a rainbow covenant. But you see, if you only take one of those little parts of the picture, the Methodist or the Baptist or the Catholic, and you plant it in the ground, it will produce a Methodist harvest. But if you can take the original seed and plant that into the ground, it will produce an original seed, the original seed back again. That's why Brother Ryan said the church, Baptists will produce Baptists, Methodists will produce Methodists, but the church will produce Christ from the root, the Word. From the root. Yes, because it's going all the way back to the root that Brother Luis was bringing out Wednesday, the Genesis 1:26-27 root. Because when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, it connects you back all the way back to the root, to the original seed of God's thinking that you were going to come into the world one day and receive the truth and he would put his own life in you. But you see that these two vines, the true and the false vine, grow up together by the same water. But what's planted is going to come up. And then you can tell what it is. If you plant an orange seed, when it comes up, you can tell that's an orange seed because of the fruit. Because of the fruit. And by their fruits, you shall know them. Amen. By their fruits. So the question is, what is the fruit? What is your fruit? Now, a lot of people, you know, they kind of get in their own ideas instead of taking it back to the message. But the message has the answer to what the fruit is. Now is the fruit, we know the Bible says that the fruit is love, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things. But where does it come from? It comes from the seed of the Word planted within you, and then when it bears forth fruit, when it comes forth, you'll be able to harvest the thing that was planted. In other words, you'll be able to harvest the doctrine that was planted in your soul. You'll be able, and how do you harvest it? When you go up and talk to somebody, maybe an old saintly grandma on her rocking chair on her front porch, and you begin to ask her, is there something that I have to do to be saved? And she says, Jesus paid the price. It's not by works. It's by grace. It's by faith, grace through faith that you're saved. And then the blood will keep you saved. You see, then you're going up to her, and that little old saintly grandma, whoever it might be, and you're picking fruit off of that tree because she's bearing forth fruit. And what is her fruit? Her fruit is her doctrine, because the doctrine will produce the thing. How can anybody not be excited? The doctrine that is planted will bear forth. You see, if you plant the original seed, it will come up, and then somebody can glean the benefit from that. If you plant the truth, then up from that ground, up from your earth, will come all of these virtues that Brother Branham said are required. Virtue and knowledge and temperance. And somebody could come up to you and pick from you the knowledge that you have of Jesus Christ. The revelation that you have of who He is. Now, that is how you tell the real fruit. Not because they saw a light or because they had a sensation or something. Now, those things will follow. You can't help but signs and wonders to follow the Word. Let me just kind of hit that a little bit. Because when the Word is planted and it comes up, signs and wonders will follow the Word. Do you know, if you go back and listen to the sermon, Christ, the Mystery God Revealed, which is a fantastic sermon, I believe that's kind of what Brother Dale's been hitting on in the morning, the revealing of this mystery. Well, there's a paragraph in there where Brother Ram said, in the last days, he's talking about the palm worm, kinkworm, caterpillar, locust, ate down the Word. But in the last days, all of that would be restored. And he said, he hit that signs and wonders would be restored. So if the Word is restored in this last day, signs and wonders will be restored also. So don't ever get it in your head that now we've got the theology, so we don't expect signs and wonders anymore. Signs and wonders will be there. And you will see it, because it will be, it might be kind of only things that God, only things that only you know about in your own personal life. But God will manifest Himself in miraculous ways, because it can't help but be manifest. When the Word is revealed to you, do you know that maybe one of the greatest signs of all is for a Christian to live in this evil age, for these virtues to be made manifest in their life, for somebody, a real God called born again child, to manifest these virtues. Amen. For these virtues to come out, and for somebody to look at you and say, there is real godliness. There's somebody that could be smitten in the face and yet would love his brother. That's the kind of, what greater sign could there be than that? But I'm not trying to make excuses or to polish it over. You will see miracles in your life if you will hold to the Word. The Word of God will be right there in your home when people fall ill, when people get sick, when you need God to come upon the scene. Because the greatest evidence that God is with you is you have the right doctrine, that you have the right teaching down on the inside, that you know your God. I really want to hit that. You know, I think just growing up in the message, it seems like so many people get the thought in their head that the message is something that they can never quite understand. It's so mysterious and things. But you can know what this message is about. God will reveal it to you if you will only take the time to open yourself up, to yield yourself to Him so that He can speak to you with that still, small voice. And what you believe will produce. You see, it matters what you believe. It matters what you believe. Many times we come to church and we think, you know, well, I like this brother's preaching over here. What difference does it make if he's maybe preaching something a little bit off or whatever? And we begin to think maybe that it doesn't matter so much. But it matters what you believe, because what you believe is the difference. What you believe is the difference between the true and the false. The true and the false will both have signs and wonders. The true and the false will both have the miraculous working in their life. But the true will know their God and will be known of Him, because He said, as they came to the white throne judgment, that scripture we were reading, "Depart from me, I never knew you." If He knows you and you know Him, that's the main thing. So it says, beware of false prophets in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 16. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, down in their soul, on the outside, they're whitewashed. Jesus said, whitewashed sepulchres. On the outside, it looks clean, but on the inside, they've got false teaching. If you don't care, if you heal somebody on Sunday, as they said to Jesus, on the Sabbath, if you heal somebody on the Sabbath, then something's wrong with you. You see, their doctrine was misplaced. And in verse 16, it says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" And Brother Branham said, what is the fruit? The word, the fruit for the season. That's what it is, their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time is it? It is man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, or God's word for the season. So that's an important point too. It's got to be God's word for the season. We're not now teaching the doctrine of Martin Luther. We're not teaching the doctrine of John Wesley. We're not teaching the doctrine of Azusa Street Pentecost. We're teaching the doctrine of the revealed word for this day, the revelation of the Son of Man, the opening of the seven seals, the seven thunder mysteries. And all of that may seem very, very mysterious to you, but again, God can reveal it to you. God is able to reveal it to you. So how do we identify false prophets? False prophets will arise. False Christ will arise and be on the scenes. So you identify it by the teaching. Now I want to kind of just hit a little bit. Sometimes we'll think that a new Christian come in, a new little brother coming in or whatever, they don't understand things. And we'll be like, that's false. No, that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about the word laid in front of you and you turn aside from it. Not a young little new minister coming up and just trying to begin preaching. You know, sometimes you begin to think that ministers will never say anything wrong. If that were true, you remember Brother Brown's first sermon, the very first sermon he preached, his pastor pulled him over to the side and said, "Now, you got everybody crying and everything. But where's the word that you laid out?" Everybody was crying and everything. So Brother Brown's very first sermon, he needed a little correction. See, we're all growing up to honing down time. And just because you're off a little bit, see, the main thing is not that you're off, but that you can be corrected. Do you know, that's really one of the attributes of a real fivefold minister, is maybe they might be a little bit off, but you go over and talk to them a little bit and say, "Have you considered this scripture? Look at this scripture," and they'll get right back in line because they want to be corrected. A real Christian, a real son of God wants to be corrected. So, as Brother Brown began to bring out these examples, I hope I'm not boring you now. It's only the morning. We hadn't even got to the turkey sandwiches and things. Hang on there with me. Brother Brown began to run through these historical examples in the Bible of comparison. And one example, one of the first examples he gave was Moses and Balaam. Now the difference was Moses had He was bringing a message straight from Scripture. He had met God on the backside of the desert, and he told him, "I am that I am." And he Moses asked him, "Well, who are you?" And he began to impart to him a personal revelation of who he was. And so Moses was bringing him out based on that prophecy that God gave to Abraham back in Genesis 15, where he said, "And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance." So Moses was going about his doings by the word. He had a word prophet that he was relying on. He was basing everything, all of his actions on the word. But Balaam, the other example that Brother Branham gave, Balaam fundamentally was right. He said his prophecy was all right. When he prophesied about Israel, his fundamentals, his seven altars, his seven clean sacrifices, his oxes and his seven rams, and all of his doings, just like Cain, that looked like he was very religious. He wanted to serve God. He had an appetite for God. He wanted to be there in church. But yet, when Balaam's case and Cain's case, the teaching was wrong. You see, it matters what you believe. Yes. What you believe is what sets apart the difference. It's what makes the difference. And Balaam's teaching was, Moses' teaching was, we are a set apart people. We've been separated. We're going into the promised land. But Balaam's teaching was, it doesn't matter what you believe. We're all the same. Do you see that deception? It doesn't matter what we believe. We're all the same. Brother Brown said, now the teaching of Balaam, the teaching was wrong, not the prophecy. The prophecy was right. And even, I think it was Balaam that prophesied a root shall spring out of David and all those kind of things. He prophesied correctly, things that we still quote in the Scripture, but his teaching was wrong. Now, the teaching of Balaam, not the prophecy of Balaam, that was all right. That was God. How many believes that? The prophecy of Balaam was exactly right because he couldn't speak nothing else. The anointing of God wouldn't speak nothing else, and God vindicated it by proving it was the truth. But it was the teaching of Balaam. Now as Brother Branham was bringing out these things, he said he wanted to point out that the reason he's bringing this out is so you can know what you are. By examining yourself. He said, and just whatever you believe, just sit still and listen and ask God to open your heart. Then you'll find out whether you're a briar or a thistle or wherever you're standing. And maybe if I could just speak on that for a little bit, examine yourself and see if you have a revelation that matches the prophet's message. If you've been coming to church all of these years and you really don't know what the message is about, maybe it's time to get serious and get concerned. Even though, just kind of growing up in the message, you hear so many people point back to some kind of supernatural experience or a light. I was sitting on the front porch, somebody might say, and I saw the pillar of fire there. And therefore, I know that I'm right. I was sitting in my yard maybe one day praying, and I felt the Holy Spirit come down, and therefore I know that I'm right. Now listen on me. Listen to me. Don't fall asleep on me, because this is important. I don't believe that Brother Branham would preach this just for it to fall void and fall to deaf ears, but you see, this is what sets you apart, is your doctrine. It's important to know what you believe. And if you come to church and you don't know what you believe, then it's time to be concerned. That's what I believe, that by the confession of your mouth is how you're saved, because if you can't speak it, if you can't tell somebody what you believe, do you really believe anything? Do you really believe? If somebody were to say, well, what do you believe about the serpent seed? I don't know. If somebody were to, and you were to say, I don't know, do you really believe anything about it? If somebody were to say, well, what's the mystery of the first seal? Now let's hone it down a little bit. Yes. If somebody were to ask you, what do you believe? The Bible says to be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Be ready to explain what you believe. Because if you can't explain it, if you can't even say even the most basic fundamental thing, then do you really believe it? If you can't confess it, Brother Branham said, oh, you false teachers listening to these tapes all these years, And seeing God confirm exactly what he said, and you said in your study, and knowest the truth, and because of your denominational differences, you dispute them and tell your people they're not so. So you see, faith is not something that because we sit in a particular church, we believe this particular way. Brother Brown said it's not a dogmatic system. It's not something that we believe just because somebody told us, but it's something that God has personally revealed to you. You have to have a revelation for yourself. Amen. It's not enough to come to church and say, well, I know that my pastor has a revelation, or I know that these ministers have a revelation, but you yourself need to be able to speak it. Right. I was called to mind, just began thinking of, you know, that story in the Bible where they were crossing over to the, I don't remember all the details of this story, but they got to the river and there was one tribe that was preventing the other tribe from crossing unless they could say the word Shibboleth in just the right way. And because of their speaking, they would drop a little syllable off of that. They couldn't form their word just right. They couldn't pass over. You see, because of their confession, they could not pass over. Their confession was wrong. You need to be able to speak it correctly. You're going over based on your confession of what your revelation is and what you believe it to be. And if your confession is, I don't know, that it's time to be concerned.
Yeah, right. Right.
Another example that Brother Brown gave, and the clock's ticking on around, so y'all just hold on with me. In 1 Kings chapter 22, was Micah and Zedekiah. And in this story, this is the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and Ahab gets in his idea that this territory over here, this blessing of Israel, say, God has promised us this blessing, and I'm the man that's going to go take it back. Despite the word of God telling him otherwise. Now Micah the prophet was called upon the scene and on the other side, they called Zedekiah who rose up to come against Micah. And Micah, the true word prophet, was basing his prophecy on what Elijah had already prophesied. Elijah had said, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. So Elijah had already prophesied that Ahab was going to die and the dogs would lick his blood. And Zedekiah comes on the scene and says, prophesies false doctrine. Prophesies now. The spirit was on him, but he prophesied. He taught false doctrine. And he said, no, everything's going to be all right. We're going to be victorious. And you see, Brother Branham points out that Zedekiah's motive seemed good. His motive was to take back the blessing of Israel, to go and take back the inheritance. That land was Israel's inheritance. It belonged to them. It seemed right, but yet it was fundamentally wrong, down in the doctrine. And if you go back and read, just kind of study on 1 Kings chapter 22, I hope everybody goes and studies on things. You must study in your own private time. You know, you almost want to force people sometimes. You just grab the back of their head and push it into the Bible, but you can't do that. It's got to be something personal that you do. And if something's really on the inside pulling you to the Word, you will do it. And you'll spend time and look into these scriptures. So in 1 Kings chapter 22, you've got this scene up in heaven. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on this manner, and then a lying spirit came forth and said, and in verse 23 it says, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. So the spirit, he was prophesying, Zedekiah was prophesying a lie. And look how Brother Brown words it. He said, I saw God. This is Zedekiah speaking. I saw God. He told me to make these horns out of iron. Go out there and push the nations out of there. For this belongs to us. The others ain't got no right. And Brother Branham said that Zedekiah was an honorable man trying to give back to the church the material things that belonged to the church. Of course, he had his eye on the material instead of the spiritual. He said, we own property. We're a great organization. Join us. It's all brothers and sisters. And let's examine the things that Brother Branham had to say about Zedekiah. He said that Zedekiah was the greatest man in the nation, in the military and natural sight. He was the head prophet by the king. He was the head of all the other prophets by organization. He was made by his organization the head of all of them. He was probably the best read. He was the best educated. He was more eligible for the job. And he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, for he's called a prophet. And not just an ordinary prophet, but a Hebrew prophet. Do you see how the deception will be in this latter time? And Brother Branham said the latter time is where the deception comes. Somebody that looks like they've got all the credentials. They're part of the message. They're in the movement. They're the head that looks like they're maybe the best read. They should be the one that knows what they're talking about. And the question for you this morning is, will you be deceived? Because the only way that you cannot be deceived is if you have the Word, the revelation. The Word is what makes the difference. Brother Branham said, what if it had been said, can you find any fault in Zedekiah and Micah? No. Did you ever catch him in sin? Nope. Now see, this is not like a sinner, that kind. Somebody going around to bars and honky-tonks and stuff. This is somebody that's keeping themselves clean. Did you ever hear him cuss anybody? No. Did you ever catch him drunk? Nope. Can you dispute his education? Nope. Do you believe his doctor's degree is false? Nope. You believe his PhD is all right? Sure, by the Sanhedrin Council. I guess it's all council. I guess it's all right. Well, then why don't you join with him? Because he's off the Word. You see, what makes the difference is not sensations or feelings or looking back at something supernatural. The difference is the Word.
Amen.
Now see?
Yeah.
Brother Brown said, if you're a child of God, you'll stay with the prophet of this Bible. It's the Word. Yeah. Now see, that's another thing that's confusing a little bit maybe. To stay with the prophet does not mean to say, I believe that God sent a prophet. To stay with the prophet means to understand what the teaching of the prophet is. And then you'll be able to stay with it. It's not good enough just to say, I don't know what the prophet taught, but yet I believe that there's going to come somebody in this end time. And to barely have an understanding, you must have an understanding of the message. Because that's what makes the difference. And I'm going to just keep hitting that, despite maybe how boring that may seem, because that is what will save us. I believe we were listening to that message, Convinced and Concerned, on the way over here this morning, and Brother Brown was talking about when you become convinced about the truth, you become concerned for others. And when I listen to this message, the anointed ones at the end time, it makes me concerned. That's maybe why I want to lay it out so plain this morning, that to turn your back on it and walk away from it, you just have to about fall over it. Another example that Brother Branham gave was Jeremiah and Hananiah. And Jeremiah prophesied that Israel was going to go down into Babylon for 70 years. And Hananiah said, no, it's just going to be 2. The Lord showed me.
Yeah.
The Lord himself came down and told me. And Jeremiah said, go into, see, remember Hananiah took that yoke that Jeremiah had on the back to show that Jeremiah put that yoke on his back to say, go down and be in bondage, be in yoke to the king of Babylon for 70 years. And Hananiah took it off his back, said, I know better than you, and broke it in pieces.
Yeah.
I know better than you. The Lord spoke to me and he told me something different. And Jeremiah said, go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the necks of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. But on the other hand, Hananiah's doctrine was, you're all right. As long as you belong, in other words, it don't matter what you believe, as long as you belong, as long as you're Israel, as long as you're a good message believer, you just come sit in a message church and you could put over your door, message believer, and hang it, put a little eagle over your door or whatever. As long as you're Israel, that's all that's necessary. I'm taking this right out of this message. These are not my words. He said, Brother Branham said, Hananiah said, don't be alarmed, don't be scared. Well, maybe it's time for us to be alarmed a little bit. And scared about our current predicament. Maybe it's checking up time to see if we really have a true revelation for this hour. And the Bible says that Hananiah, because he rejected the word, he turned, he walked in iniquity. He was a worker of iniquity because he turned away from the truth. It said he was dead that year. You see, what's so perplexing, what's so confusing to so many is that the Holy Spirit can work in the life of a hypocrite. Down on the inside, you would not be true, but the Holy Spirit's still doing wonders and miracles in your life and doing things supernatural, like that story that Brother Branham told about how he went to that first Pentecostal meeting, and he, by discernment, was able to tell that that one man that was speaking in tongues was living with another man's wife or living with adultery. And yet the other man was true. You see, both of them, the Spirit working, but yet down on the inside of one of them, his doctrine was incorrect because he was walking in iniquity. He knew it was not right to live with another man's wife. He knew it was not right to live in adultery. But yet he was walking in that way despite the truth being laid in front of him. And Matthew chapter 15 says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men."
That's right.
Teaching for doctrines their own ideas instead of what the Word says. Because the Word is what makes the difference. And even Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, he said, "If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be judges." In other words, the Pharisees were casting out devils. Now, we were watching one of those new little movies that came about Jesus. And this is one thing that I disagree with, because it was the Chosen film. And in that movie, they got Nicodemus coming up, and Mary Magdalene or somebody. And he could not cast out an evil spirit. And see, this is contrary to what the Bible says, because the Bible says that the Pharisees were casting out spirits. Their sons were casting out spirits. But the difference was not that one could cast out spirits and the other could not, as this movie portrayed. The difference is the doctrine.
Amen.
The difference is the teaching.
Yes.
And there's the deception. Brother Branham said in Hebrews chapter 2, he says, "Every Christian spirit exalts Jesus, not only by your lips, but by your life." Your lips can say one thing, your life do another. If you do that, you know what it is. That's hypocrisy. And I'd rather face heaven as an infidel than a hypocrite. I take my chance better, I believe, in heaven as an infidel than to be a hypocrite. If you testify for Jesus and say he's the Savior, you live like that, because people is going to expect it out of you. That's right. You live like a Christian ought to. In other words, I believe what he's saying, and I'm not trying to interpret it or nothing, but make sure that the inside is right. Because you can say with your outside that I'm a Christian, I'm a message believer, and all those kind of things, but do the checking up to make sure that down on the inside, it's not just a sepulchre filled with dead men's bones.
Amen.
That you're not just a whitewashed grave with a tombstone whitewashed on the outside to make it look clean and nice on the outside, but down on the inside, you've got false doctrine. Jesus said, talking about... Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And I'm really just following the path that Brother Branham took as he preached the anointed ones in the end time. So if you were maybe not quite grasping what I'm talking about this morning, don't go listen to me over again. Go listen to Brother Branham over again.
Right.
And pause it and rewind and just kind of meditate on the things that he says. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." In the last days, that's this day. And he said, Brother Branham explained it. He gave a little explanation. Perilous and deceptive times. Deceptive times. "Why? But for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." In other words, he's saying no natural love, just selfish and self-centered, out for their own personal gain. But here's the real kicker. You think he's talking about people out in the world. But in verse 5, he says, "having a form of godliness." This is church people. having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What is the power that will be denied? The power is the Word. Because the Word is what will change you. The Word here received in the heart of a believer will convict you and cause you to realize that you're lost, that you're not where you should be, that will change you, that will take you, that will add these virtues. The Word is the power of God unto salvation. Performing miracles, signs, and wonders, but denying the Word that can change your life. And then Brother Branham began to use this example of Jannes and Jambres. When Moses went down into Egypt, he threw down the serpent, and Jannes and Jambres could too. He did all these things that they could do. Every plague he called, they could do it too. They could do the same thing. He said any miracle that Moses could do, they could do. Keep that in mind. We're coming to it after a while. They can do anything the rest of them to do, but they can't stay with the Word. They can't stay with the Word. And in Exodus chapter 7, it says, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. When Moses came down and he put his serpent down, they were able to do that too. When he turned the water into blood, they were able to do that too. When he caused frogs to come up, they were able to do that too. But where they were wrong was in their doctrine. And listen, listen to the way how Brother Branham explains this. He said, Pharaoh's denomination says, we have a man that can do that same thing. And they did it. He said, Pharaoh's heart was hardened to prove that Moses wasn't the only one that had the Word. He wanted to prove that Moses wasn't the only one that was right. And the way that he wanted to prove it was by signs and wonders. But you see, that's where the deception is. The truth lies in the revelation. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 8 and 9, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. And Brother Branham said reprobate means apostasy. And apostasy means an act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith, or abandonment of a previous loyalty. Abandonment. In other words, you say, I don't believe that anymore. And the message oneness, Brother Branham said, let me make that again. Do not disbelieve any word of God's Bible. Just don't say, yes, I believe it. Say, but no, there's nothing about that. You believe it, you'll accept it. If you lay it aside, say, well, my church don't believe it that way, then you do not believe it's God's Word. And you'll walk away under the same condemnation that Eve went away under. You separated yourself from the Eternal when you had a chance to be united with Him. Now, remember, that cannot be questioned because it was one word that in God's Word. And then Brother Branham begins to go into, will I find faith? Will I find faith when I return, Jesus said. And Brother Branham said, here is the question. If you follow in that line in this hour, will it be finished? Will I find the faith? Will Malachi 4 be fulfilled in this time? Restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the fathers, the original, the Word. Will I find that original faith in the end? Will I find somebody that's willing to accept it and believe it until it becomes reality to them? Will I find faith? That's why it's so important to stay with the Word. If you take one word off, then it takes you down into death. That's why Brother Branham hits so often. Where is the Trinity in the Bible? There's nowhere in the Bible where it says Trinity. Where does it say to baptize in titles? Where does it say that the initial evidence is speaking in tongues? And let me bring it on down to a little bit honing time a little bit more. Where does it say that being born again is just recognizing that you always had it? And you just come to a realization that you always had eternal life. It does not say that anywhere. Where does it say when you're born again that you got everything and you don't need to grow? Where does it take away the growth? Where does it say predestination is how that God pushes you through a tube and you don't have to read your Bible and you don't have to come to church, that God just pushes you and He's the one doing everything like that. Where does it say Jesus was not God when He was born? Where does it say that? It says that He was Elohim in the manger. Where does it say we don't need a personal revelation? It doesn't say those things. But listen, when you begin to understand how you are positioned, that the Word of God is being made real in your own life. See, this is what will give us confidence. This is what will give us confidence to realize, for the church, for the bride to realize who she is and what she's here for. To realize that your iniquity has been taken away because, why? What will take away your iniquity? The true, correct doctrine. Amen. The true, correct doctrine of how to be baptized. The name of God, the Godhead, where God is right now, where He is tabernacled. Amen. All of these things, the serpent seed, all these things that have built up until they are building you up into the stature of a perfect man. And that kind of a man will know that there is no iniquity in them because they've been honed down by the Word until the Word is made fully manifest in that person's life. I think that's why God put the fivefold ministry. Do you know, Brother Branham, in this sermon said that He put the fivefold ministry in the church to keep it clean. To keep it clean, to make sure that people don't go off into darkness, into false things and get carried away with different things. Don't get carried away. Don't look at the wrong thing as the evidence of your salvation. Don't look at the fact that once upon a time you had something supernatural happen just for a brief moment, and that is the evidence. The evidence is that your revelation matches up with the Word, and that your life, the works, matches up with the Word. And that is the evidence that God has wrought a change in your life. I'm trying to skip over some of these because I don't want to hold you too long this morning. Of course, we got lunch too, so I can't hold you too long. You've got an escape. Brother Brown said in Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ye shall know them by their fruits. And so going back to Matthew chapter 7 verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So you see now what iniquity is? Iniquity, and the message influence, Brother Brown said, iniquity, what is iniquity? Iniquity is something that you know it's wrong and still holding to it. When you know your creeds are wrong and you still hold to it, that's iniquity. Well, the Holy Ghost fell on me. He said, I don't doubt that a bit. I spoke in tongues. I sang in the Spirit. I don't doubt that a bit. No question to that. Oh, brother, sister, what kind of a condition? This is a trembling time. Where are we at? This Word is coming to life now. And see, then he goes and he begins to use some more examples. And he talks about how St. Martin had that, there was a young monk that rose up. He actually told several stories about St. Martin as he was illustrating. And one of these stories that he said, there was a young monk that said, the Lord, he rose up and said, the Lord has made me a prophet, and I'm going to prove it to you. He rose up there in the monastery, and he said, tonight the Lord is going to give me a big fine robe and put it on me, a white robe, and set among you. Then all of you shall come up to me, see, and you'll take orders from me. He said that a light was going to come on, and it would reveal him sitting there in the white robe. And that actually happened. That actually came to pass. But Brother Brown said, as he was relating the story, he said, when he went and got the old dean of the college, he walked up and down a little bit and said, son, that don't sound right. He said, you ever been listening to a sermon? It's just like, that don't sound right. I don't think that's what Brother Brown said. There's only one way. Here it is. There's only one way for us to know it looks supernatural. Boy, Pentecost would have grabbed that root, sinker, line, hook, and everything else. He said, the miracle may seem all right, but it don't seem right to the Word. And he said, now, we have such a person, an anointed prophet by the name of Martin. Come, go up before him. See, to think that the word was so manifest in Martin, St. Martin, that when this man went up with his robe and the light shining all of him, it said, Brother Ram said, they grabbed him by the arm to take him before Martin, and the robe left him. Because that deception couldn't stand before the word. Deception can't stand before the word. We've got to have a true understanding of how God will manifest himself in the bride in this last day, where he will be placed. And see, then Brother Branham kind of shifts and he begins to talk about that. He begins to talk about a new Trinity that would come forth. In Revelation chapter 16, y'all okay? Y'all hanging with me?
Amen.
I'll be done in just a few minutes. All right. Thank you, Brother Luis. I appreciate that encouragement. And I saw the Revelation chapter 16 says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth. See, it's the spirits of devils working miracles. This whole sermon he's talking about how that just because something works a miracle does not mean it's the truth. And here comes these spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole earth, a whole world to gather them. That's what we were talking about in the God of this evil age when we were talking about that, how that the devil is gathering his people to him. God is gathering his people to him. Amen. To gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And Brother Brown said, now see, the trinity of frogs came out of an old trinity, give birth to a new trinity, their mother. What had come out of a trinity, the dragon, see, the beast and the false prophet, a trinity new. For when were these frogs come out? When did it notice there was all the time, but it wasn't manifested until between the sixth and the seventh vial, just before the seals opened to reveal it. Now see, the Trinity, the original false doctrine of the Trinity was a false conception of the Godhead. A false conception of who that man was on the shores of Galilee. A false conception of how all that played in. How God would tabernacle himself in a man. How he would appear. How God would be manifesting himself. What the nature of the Godhead was. Is it three different people? Or is it God just changing his form? And this new Trinity, I believe, will be a perversion again of how God is manifesting himself. A deception to get your eye off the real thing of where God is revealing himself.
Yes.
And Brother Branham said, for in the message of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God will be known. All these Trinitarian things and false baptisms and everything was to be made manifest. God help us to see what's truth. And not think it's somebody trying to say something to. And then he says, I feel that spirit resenting that. I feel that spirit resenting that. I'm not speaking of myself, brother. He's not trying to get people to look at him. I'm speaking of the angel of the Lord that's in the camp.
Amen.
That's right. In other words, he's speaking. He's trying to get people to see the correct revelation of where God is going to tabernacle himself. And if you begin to look at Brother Branham, that Brother Branham is the Son of Man, you're looking at the wrong thing. Brother Branham is now off the scene. But the Son of Man will be Christ again revealed in human flesh.
Amen.
The deception will get you off of that. Unable to see exactly the truth. The only way that you'll see the truth is by the Word.
Amen.
You see, if you don't understand these truths of the Son of Man and the stature of a perfect man and Christ the mystery of God revealed, and who is this Melchizedek? And the unveiling of God, how God will be unveiled in this day, then you will be caught up in the deception because you can't see the truth of how God will reveal himself.
Right.
It's misidentifying the present day truth. Brother Ram said in this message, he said, in the very day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, read it when you get home, the seventh angel's message opening up the seals. What is it? Not the angel is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. Can you get it separated now? There's the deception. Unable to separate and look at it correctly. That's where it seems to be so hard for you, you see. Not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel, the seventh messenger is revealing to the public the Son of Man because it's left the shuck. You see, even in 1 John, now hang on with me just for a minute. In 1 John chapter 4, let's go to that real quick and then we'll close. The deception, the Antichrist spirit will deceive you from realizing where God is. He said in 1 John chapter 4 verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, is come in the flesh. Now that first Trinity was to deceive you from who, knowing who that was that came in the flesh. What would this deception be in this last day to get you off from understanding where God is, where He is tabernacled? Here, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ not was come in the flesh, but is come in the flesh. He is come in the flesh. Not just because the minister's preaching it to you, and therefore that makes it to you. You have to have a revelation of it for your own self. And the revelation comes by feasting on the Word, by eating the Word until it is built up within you. And then you'll know whether or not Jesus is come in the flesh, is come in the flesh, present tense, is come in the flesh. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist.
Yes.
Now, not come in Brother Branham's flesh so much. We believe that God spoke through him. He said, I've yielded my vessel to him. He uses my lips. But now that tabernacle, that vessel is gone. So where is he tabernacled? Brother Branham said a false Trinity was rising, not in the early days. Wouldn't be made manifest in the early days. It went right on through with it. But when the seven seals become and open those mysteries and reveal them, that's when the after the seven seals are open, then those frogs come out. That's when the frogs, three unclean spirits like frogs, come out to manifest themselves. A Trinity doctrine against the truth. See where it come from? See where it's going back to? They're all brothers anyhow, same spirits, same things. And watch, so deceiving, performing miracles. And these are devils that go forth to all the gods of the earth, working miracles to deceive them in the last day, and will succeed in doing it. What did God say about that evil spirit? He said, I'll go down and get in the mouth of those prophets and cause them to prophesy a lie, to cause Ahab to come out there to be destroyed. And God said, go. You will succeed. You will get them to believe it. They're not on that word to begin with. If you're not on that word, you will be deceived. And what is the deception? The real word is over there. You got to go over geographically, go to that location, and then you can get it. The Bible says if they say go over here, over there, don't believe it, because why? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth. If the word is in you, you don't have to go to any particular geographic location to get it. It's right there with you, because God is revealing himself to you personally. And he said again, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself. It's not about himself. He's trying to get you to see the revelation of the message.
Amen.
To you personally.
Yeah, right.
Being that I was packing this message, I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. And you see the treacherousy, how treacherous this is to preach. That when you begin to get your eye off of the man and look at the message that he was preaching.
Amen.
And allow that message to become part of you.
Right.
And receive that message.
Yes.
That you're not looking at that man as the Son of Man.
You're not looking at that man as the fulfillment of the scripture that you are supposed to fulfill, but you're looking at that, the one that has come, that is on the scene. That's why he kept majoring on, preaching at Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same one that was here with him is now still on the scene with the church. That same one that he was preaching about, that he said, I have no more to do with it with the nothing. That same one is still here in the church today. And he's identified not so much by sensations or by signs and wonders, but by a true doctrine, a true revelation of who he is and who he is in the church today and where he is, how he is being tabernacled in you and I, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The musicians can go ahead and come on. We know that. Brother Branham said three things to say before we close as the musicians come. He said the world is in a solemn condition. That's the unbeliever. It's in that hour that Jannes and Jambres appear, the make-believer, the deceivers. It's in that same hour that the Son of Man is to be revealed, the true believer. There, do you see how he categorized the Son of Man with the true believer? He said that. That's his words, not mine. The Son of Man categorized with the true believer. And in this hour, these three groups of people are being pulled into their own separate groups. This is such a great time to live in. The same hour where the elect cannot be deceived because they are the Word.
Amen.
You believe it? Let's stand to our feet. Let's rejoice.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord as He passes by, you find he's not too busy to hear your heart cry.
Just reach out and touch my faith. Whatever need you have need of, you can receive it right there in your seat. Just be like that Roman centurion. Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come in my house. You don't have to lay hands on me. You don't have to touch me. You don't have to do anything. I just believe it. Just believe it right there where you are. I believe it.
Child and touch the Lord.
Whatever you have need of, it's a spiritual need, a material need. If you're going through a rough time, just reach out and touch Him. He's the one that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's the one that knows what we're going through. Just reach out and worship Him.
This moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes
by. If you have need of anything, don't let this moment go by while He's passing by. Don't linger away, but just reach out and claim whatever you have need of. If you're at home listening in, now is your moment.
The need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Amen. You love Him. You love Him this morning. God is good to us, isn't He? Let's just remember to be back at 1 o'clock for Brother Aaron to be in prayer for this afternoon service and come expecting. You know, Brother Ram said you get what you expect. If you come expecting signs and wonders, you'll see the Lord do something miraculous. If you come expecting to receive whatever you have need of, you'll get what you expect. So let's come this afternoon expecting to receive. Our brother will just be able to deliver his heart to us, and you'll get it. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we're dismissed. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace to us, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that you'll be with us the remainder of this day, Lord Jesus. Bless Brother Dale and Brother Wade up there and Brother Jewel and all the saints, Lord, that are gathering for the dedication of that church. Lord, we just love you and we thank you, God, for your grace to us, Lord, in this hour. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given unto us, Lord, by giving us the word, Lord God. Lord, your word is the greatest gift that we could ever imagine, Lord. It's greatest and ever greater than anything that we could ever hope to look for in this life, Lord Jesus, as far as material possessions and those kind of things. God, we just thank you so much for your word, Lord God. Thank you, God, for your word that will cause us not to be deceived. Let's give us power over the enemy. Thank you, God, for your grace to us, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll just go with your saints now, Lord Jesus, that you'll bless them, Lord, as they eat a natural meal, Lord God. And Lord, bless us, Lord, as we return this afternoon at 1 o'clock, Lord God, to receive more of your word. We thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.
Touch the Lord as he is.